FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 12/11/17. Hard to believe there's just 20 days left to the year. Well, stories breaking all over the place, but one story that never seems to go away is the state of so-called American higher education. Well, before we get into that, email us, join the show, kl@kerrylutz.com, or use the Twitter feed @KerryLutz. So what is going on in today's campuses? I'm not exactly sure, but someone who's got very interesting opinion about it is David Horowitz. And David, you've been on the show so many times, and your David Horowitz Freedom Center, Front Page Magazine, so much of what you do. We really appreciate you coming back on.
Well, thank you.
So
what's happened to our schools? Well, this has actually been a 40 or 50 year process that during and after the 60s, leftists stayed in college to avoid the draft, and because they didn't want to fight communism. They were supporting it. And they went into the universities, got on the faculties, purged conservatives from the faculties by refusing to hire them. So a conservative professor these days is as rare as a unicorn. Then they purged conservative books from the reading lists. So a student can go through college these days without ever encountering a conservative adult or having to read a book by a conservative that who hasn't been dead for 100 or 200 years. Then they change the curriculum. So you have these fake disciplines like women's studies. No conservative could be hired for a women's studies faculty because it's not about the study of women and academic study of women. It's about training them to be Marxist feminists, and no conservative can do that. So they changed the curriculum. You have black studies, which is racism, anti-white racism, basically. One sees it manifest throughout our society and the ugliness that's overtaken our politics. But what they essentially have done is to revert universities to their 19th century status. Until the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th, all colleges, all higher education was religious. These were doctrinal schools, Yale, Harvard. Their purpose was to train ministers and priests and to instill the doctrines of a particular denomination. At the beginning of the 20th century, our schools were transformed into what is generally referred to as the modern research university based on scientific principles, so that the purpose of teachers was no longer to tell students what to think, but to teach them how to think. So if there was a controversial issue, they would hear both sides or many sides and then be left to make up their own minds. This is what the left has destroyed. Today, the universities are religious institutions. They instill a doctrine. You can call a doctrine identity politics, but it's really cultural Marxism, which divides the world into oppressors and oppressed. Every time there's a disparity, it's because somebody was oppressed, not because of choices that they made. And that's why what you see this horrific new phenomenon where of college students shutting down speakers that they don't agree with. The whole idea of college is to expose you to new ideas and teach you how to weigh them. Now, if you have an idea that's out of sync with these cultural Marxists, they get violent. But they've done it in classrooms of even left-wing teachers, as at Reed College, where they protest in the classroom because they don't want them teaching Aristotle because he's white. The difference is this. If you have a a university based on scientific principles or on democratic that respects democracy, then when you have a dissenting view, it's a dissenting view and you deal with it. If you have a religious institution and you have a dissenting view, that's heresy. In the old days, they used to burn heretics at the stake. But, you know, now it's just shut them down, threaten them with violence, make it impossible for them to speak or for students to hear them. I have to say, this book I've written is like dispatches from the war front. It shows you the left in the university, it's called, and it's part of my series, The Black Book of the American Left. It's the eighth volume I've published. Mm-hmm. The left in the university details how this was done over the years. So, David,
we're in this situation. And the other thing is that your tax dollars, my tax dollars, are paying for these safe zones, as they call them.
And well, the whole school is a safe zone for Marxist ideas and racist ideas. Identity politics is racism. Take the phrase people of color. What does that mean, actually? Is people of color a group that has identity of interests? Tell that to the Rwandans, where the Hutus committed a genocide against the Tutsis. Tell that to the Pakistanis and the Indians, of the same skin color, but slit each other's throats when they get the chance.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could go on and on. Mm-hmm. The people of color is a completely made-up term. It isn't even English. We don't say, here's a box of crayons of color doing. It's French. Ideologues created this term, and it has only one purpose. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole world is people of color. Those are the oppressed people, except for one group, white people. Those are the oppressors.
Yeah.
And that's why you see this epidemic of anti-white racism. I talk about America as a white supremacist country. It's ludicrous. I mean, it's completely absurd. Just a few years ago, you know, put people in the loony bin for using phrases like white supremacist. You hear this, it runs throughout the Democratic Party. I mean, America is the most tolerant, inclusive country in the world. We just had 8 years of a black president, two extremely corrupt black chief law enforcement officers, attorneys general. We got black national security advisor. That two black secretaries of state. I mean, come on, there are 10,000 black elected officials. There are whole major cities like Atlanta are run by blacks. To call America a white supremacist country, you know, should disqualify you from, you know, anybody listening to you.
Yeah, it's absurd.
But that's what they, that is the curriculum in the university.
And, well,
hating white people is a politically correct idea. It's part of the curriculum. They do. They have whiteness studies. All the ethnic studies, you know, you have black studies, Chicano studies, women's studies. It's all to celebrate blacks, Hispanics, and women as allegedly oppressed. But whiteness studies is about the evil of whiteness. And, you know, the conclusion is you have to abolish whiteness. You want to talk about neo-Nazis in America? They're on the left.
Yeah.
There's a handful of idiots on the right who are neo-Nazis, but the real neo-Nazis, the real racists, are all progressives.
Very true. Very true. So is there hope for this situation here? How do we, you know, they're so infiltrated. They're so infiltrated.
One man standing, right. Got his finger in the dike, and that's Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I the rot is so deep and so extensive that it captured the culture. You know, there is a resistance now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it goes by the name of Trumpers.
Yeah, the biggest racists of them all, if you listen to the media, right?
Well, the media, they're anti-white racists. They don't like, and they're anti-American.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole idea of America is based on the idea that just people are the cousins of their character, regardless of their origins.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Constitution and the Bill of Rights are about. Individual freedom, individual accountability.
Right.
But these people are, you know, it's a continuation of the old left in a new and more virulent form.
For sure. For sure. So Trump, but there's a lot of people who voted for him, you know, roughly half the voting population or the voters that did vote. So it's kind of an idea that whose time has come, isn't it?
Well, I hope so. I don't know. You know, I think the jury is out.
Well, look, but look, though.
Look, yeah. As long as Hillary Clinton walks the streets as a free woman, this country is in deep trouble. Mm. Not because she's a threat now, although she probably is. There's a woman who violated the espionage laws knowingly, lied to the FBI, lied to the Congress, lied to the American people, erased her server, her illegal servers, when she was ordered not to. That's called obstruction of justice. And she's free. And all she's done is expose how corrupt the FBI is. And that goes for the present FBI head as well.
Yeah. So what's the, you know, we saw with the media, they blew three huge stories in the past 10 days. Really.
You forget the media. Yeah. Yeah, Trump is right. It's the enemy of the American people. I mean, you need a media that is, you know, at least halfway truthful, that will report and hold people to account. But we have a media that is part of the problem.
Yeah, for sure. But they're kind of dying as well, because if you take Hollywood.
Well, I would hope so, but I don't think so.
Well, if you.
I mean, they've discredited themselves, but, you mm-hmm. know, they're going to be out there. And now we have. And, you know, guilt by accusation, not even guilt by association, but just by accusation. So that you harass them, and that's a conviction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, interesting times that we're living.
I think the Al Franken thing, you know, he's a despicable human being. Mm. But what's he guilty of? He's a comedian.
Yeah.
He took, you know, pictures, and it was, you know, it's just a kind of pattern of him. That's a joke. It's a joke. Now, that may be bad behavior, but to lose a Senate seat?
Yeah, it's kind of, isn't it a crazy?
The Democratic Party is so unbelievably unprincipled.
Isn't it a crazy world?
It's hard to watch them.
Isn't it a crazy world when you and I are defending a Democratic senator who should have never been there, probably stole that election, but you and I are rising to his defense while his own party has dumped him in search of a higher goal, which I think is obviously to go after Trump.
Get Trump.
Yeah. And
a higher goal, a lower goal.
Yeah. And or arguably the intermediate goal is to stop Roy Moore from being elected to Senate, but the long-term goal.
Well, they're this country into a socialist, Marxist, racist nightmare. You know, Trump has to deal with so many problems that Obama, the appeasement of the Democrats, their anti-Americanism,
mm-hmm.
they ran the military into the ground. They let this lunatic in North Korea, when he could have been stopped 10, 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
To let ISIS. Obama has the blood of 500,000 people on his head.
Sure.
For not taking the war against ISIS seriously, and letting them exterminate the Christians, the Iraqi Christians.
Yeah.
200,000 of them, the oldest Christian community in the world. That's on Obama's head. So, you know, Trump has to deal with all that.
Well, you know.
But if you let the Democrats in, you're going to get, okay, so we'll have a single payer health care, which is communism. I mean, I don't understand Republicans. They don't talk. They don't know how to fight.
They're in on it.
Obamacare is a direct assault on the freedom of every American. Mm-hmm. It's the government telling you, you have to have health insurance, and you have to have, here's your choice. You have four plans that you can choose from. And, you know, it's going to cost you more. Well, of course, they lied about everything, but it costs you more. But all your health information and all your economic information will be in the hands of the government. Tell me where that's headed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's craziness. And they can't seem to get rid of it because you see that the Republicans are in on it with them, right? I mean, isn't it true?
The swamp. Yeah.
It's the uniparty.
It's so corrupt. I mean, one thing that Trump has shown is how corrupt the whole game is up there in Washington.
He's lifted the veil, right? Hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And now there's no place left to hide. That's the amazing thing. You know, before you thought these people were somewhat on our side, but after the election, you realize, not so. They're really not. So, so that's a good thing, I guess. So we've got basically half the population fighting the other half. I mean, how's this thing going to end, David?
Well, we'll see. There's an election coming up. That's one test, and there's another one. We still live in a democracy, so the people still have the final say.
Right.
If they keep Trump in office, if they keep the Democrats out, well, maybe we'll survive.
So prediction. Prediction, you think Roy Moore is going to win?
I have no idea. You have to be in Alabama to know. In any case, the name of my book is The Left in the University, part of the Black Book of the American Left, 8-volume series. You can get it at Amazon, or you should be able to get it in any Barnes & Noble, or on my website at frontpagemagazine.com. Thank you for having me.
Hey, one final question, David. When did it,
sure.
When did it become fashionable in America to be stupid? When was that something that people became proud of their stupidity? You think it's timeless? I don't know.
The problem is people.
But David,
because of all of our problems.
Yeah, but when you and I grew up,
greed, lust,
yeah,
but, and malice.
Yeah,
that's it.
But when you and when we grew up, there, stupidity was not a virtue, right? You know, it wasn't a virtue.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, things have gotten really bad, if that's what you're saying.
I mean, you actually had arguments, discussions about policies, about the direction of the country. They might have been wrong, but like you said, the concept of the old-fashioned university of being a home or a safe space, if you will, to all opinions, and now it's become this cloistered little place where it's an echo chamber.
I know,
or
it's
the left.
An indoctrination center. That's what it is.
Yeah.
The K-12, to the left has no regard for their anti-democratic, they're totalitarians.
Yeah.
So they've destroyed our educational system.
Amazing. Well,
right. Well,
all right, David. Hey, thank you. And just we'll have a link to David's site on the show notes of this interview. Email us, be part of the show, kl@carrielutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. David, always a pleasure. Good luck on the book.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.